The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to the UFC, Chris Curtis.
I waited 10 years to hear John Rogan say that guy.
Chris Action Man Curtis.
Chris Barnett trying to close out his first UFC win.
My goodness. Dude just landed a wheel kick to the head.
Chris Beast Boy Barnett.
Hey, Barnett, fifth round. For the champion, Thug Rose Namajunas.
Thug Rose Namajunas!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered.
Please tell me that's on video. I've never been happier.
I'm made for a fucking podcast. That's dangerous! Listen to me, we're at it!
Welcome to UFC Unfiltered. We're going to get right to it. I mean, Matt and I had just an incredible fight card. Anybody who watched it, if you didn't watch it, I don't know what you were thinking. Chris Barnett, who fought John Volante, and of course, Chris Curtis. An incredible win over Phil Hawes we have with us today.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I was just thinking of the fight when you said that. And I said,
which fight?
The fight with Chris Curtis, who's going to be on in an instant.
Yeah.
He's in the waiting room. I want to get to know him better.
Yes. Hey, Chris.
Good to see you again, Chris. I feel like I just seen you.
I just saw you yesterday.
Hey, man, listen, congrats. Wait, you couldn't ask for a better debut, man. Madison Square Garden, you know, and the way the fight went. I mean, how are you feeling right now? The smile is very telling.
You're right. I really couldn't. Like, what more would you want, man? I got to fight in MSG, like one of the most, like, I mean, it's the Coliseum of arenas. It's freaking amazing. Like, you know, I come from boxing too. So that's freaking great. Like, you get to be there and then, get to knock a guy out, a guy that were hyping and, had a lot of a whistle behind him. Like, in a fight, no one thought I was going to win. It makes it even better.
Well, it was also, I mean, Phil looked really, really good in that first round. I mean, that kick was to the body was working really well. He was throwing a couple of different kicks to the body. That straight right looked really good. Phil Hawes looked really, really good. And have you watched it back? Did you hear Rogan's commentary when he said something about he's just got to change the momentum? Have you watched it back?
Yeah, I did. It's funny because about the time he said that, it's the time to hear Sean Strickland scream at me to stop being a pussy. He's like, stop fucking a pussy. And I was like, all right. But yeah, man, it's roughly the same time. But yeah, man, Sean's hats off to Hawes. That was the best I've seen him striking wise. I wasn't expecting that at all. He cleaned up a lot since the last time he fought, and it caught me off guard. Honestly, I wasn't expecting that, and the punches weren't bad. The front kicks to the stomach sucked.
Yeah.
Oh, that was so bad. That was miserable.
Coming from boxing, Chris, how much different is it with all the different strikes? I mean, you're used to taking shots and rolling with it. So it's not like a grappler learning to strike where it's like, oh, what is this? You're used to taking the shots and rolling with them and whatnot. But now you get hit with different parts of the body. Was that hard for you to pick up when you made the transition, when you get kicked and chin kicked and belly kicked?
Yeah, the belly teeps have always been like something that sucked for me. Like, it's just never been something I like doing. The catching the strikes isn't too bad, but like, you know, it's not so much learning to take other strikes, but learning to use a defense that doesn't leave you open to everything else. Like, if you roll too much, you get kicked in the face. If you shell too much, you get kicked in the leg or get double legs. That's the worst part, is like figuring out, you know, the nuance of how much you can use in each different defensive style before you get messed up and somebody catches on.
And you were saying Sean Strickland was saying, don't be a pussy. Is that what he was saying?
Yeah, that's literally right. As Joe Rogan's talking about, I need to change momentum. You hear Sean Strickland say, Chris, you're fighting like a pussy. Like, Kurt, you're fighting like a pussy. You know what? Fine, man. Like, you know, my bad. Like, I'm used to being the big, scary black guy when I fight. This is the first time I ever fought. I was like, oh, shit, I'm not the big, scary black guy. I'm like, is that what that feels like? Like, I looked at him, we touched gloves. I'm like, fuck, he is huge.
And were you, did you have like a little bit of jitters being your debut? Was there a little bit of, you still, like, because there was more on the line, it's the garden. I mean, what were you feeling when you first started to fight and when it first started to look like Phil was really going to have a good night?
So, I mean, it's weird. I didn't get performance jitters, man. Honestly, like, it wasn't the arena. Everything, I felt fine. Like, as they're announcing this, I turned to my corners. I'm like, this feels like just like every other fight. You know, I got 35 fights now. So that was fine. What got me was the first combo I threw, he absolutely punched through. Like, just completely punched through the middle. So I was like, okay, maybe that happens. I threw another combo, he punched through, and I was like, fuck, he is bigger than me, he's stronger than me, and he's faster than me. I was like, that is not, he's got longer arms. I'm like, that is not fair. Like, so I had to back up, like, bro, it's just like, how do you get all of the advantages? Like, come on, man. I'm a pretty good athlete. But I had to I kind of had to back up and like accept in my head that like he's a better athlete than you. Like, you're not gonna beat him on athleticism. Like, we've got to be smarter. But I've got 35 fights, man. That's when you, you know, get to kind of dig in that well of like, okay, I can't beat you physically, but I know that I can, you know, I can outfight you. I think, like I said before, I think I'm a bigger dog than he is. Like, I've been doing it a lot longer. I've got a lot more fights. And then, you know, I had to figure out a way to win. Like, all right, well, this is going to suck for a few minutes, but, you know, I needed him to slow down a little bit, and he did.
For our audience, this is your first time on the show. You know, when did you get started? You said you started with boxing. How old were you when you got started, and where did you grow up?
I grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio. I was born and raised. I started, like, my first thing I ever did was, like, karate and taekwondo. Everybody did. I don't count that. But, like, boxing was the first thing I really fell in love with. When I was 12, around 12, I started doing that. And unfortunately, after high school, I kind of got away from it and everything, and, like, didn't really, like, pursue it. And I got into MMA, though. And then I got started after MMA, I started doing everything. And then I got back into, you know, after I got my MMA career kind of picked up, I was like, you know what, I want to go back to boxing. I got with really good coaches out there. Tim Back, Tim Back is a guy from Cincinnati, really well known. Mike Stafford was a Golden Gloves, the U.S. team coach, and all those guys. So I come from a place of really good boxing pedigree. So, you know, that's what I just came up with. I started doing MMA. I was like, okay, I got on everything else, but I still love boxing, man. Like, the fight was over. I'm trying to watch the Canelo fight, like, to see what happened. Like, I was so excited. So, yeah, it's still, like, one of my big loves.
Boxing is, like, your first love with the combat sports.
Yeah, it really is, yeah.
And how'd you get hooked up with he's your teammate, Sean Strickland?
So, I met Sean Strickland through Sam Alvey. I fought Tom Glecchio, like, my sixth pro fight, and it was like Tom's 30th pro fight. I fought Tom Glecchio, and I lost in the last round, the third round. And a few years later, I kept up with him. Tom, really good guy. I needed somewhere to go train for my first title fight for CES. And I'm like, where do I go train? I was gonna go to ATD, and Tom Glecchio was like, come to Team Quest out in California. So I went out there, and like Sam Alvey's like, oh yeah, sure, you can stay with me. And after that, I ended up like living with Sam Alvey for like 4 years. That's just the guy Sam Alvey is, man. Like, he's a really good dude.
How long ago was this? Did he have his wife and kids already?
Yeah, Sam was in Sam's house. Is like, it was me, Sam Alvey, Sam's wife. When I first met Sam, he had two kids, and Jordan Winsky was there. And then I was with Sam for 4 years, and like right when I left shortly after Crosby was like a year old, his third child. So I was with him for like three, four years. And then I moved to Vegas. I've been out here for about 2 years.
Wait, how did that work? Did they have a guest room for you that you just kind of crashed in, or a basement?
Yeah. So we laugh. But so Sam's house, there was a system to where, like, you came. When you first got there, there was there's like a toy room. There's like the kids' playroom had an extra bed. And then he turned his garage into like a apartment for fighters. And then eventually I've been there for so long, I moved into the guest room upstairs to like the hierarchy of coming to Sam's house.
How did it get, was there a moment where it was like, okay, I think they're going to ask me to leave. It's been 8 months or whatever. How did the discussion come like, hey, look, I want to stick around. We'd love you to stick around. Did it ever get talked about?
No, dude. So I'm telling you, man, like Sam Alvey is probably the nicest human being in MMA, like hands down, like him and his wife are probably the nicest people you ever meet. So I trained out there. I did 4 weeks out there before camp, and it was great. And then my next fight came up, and he messaged me like, oh, hey, I saw they announced your fight. When are you coming up? So I was like, oh, okay. So I came back, and I won that one. And they're just like, just stay here. So I actually, they're just like, yeah, just stay here. And, like, you know, they're like family, man. Like, I did their kids' birthdays. We did stuff together. Like, that's family. Great. I'm telling you, it's the nicest man in MMA you'll ever meet. So I just kind of, like, became non-honorary Alvey for a while. So yeah, that was this is how they are, man.
Nice people, right?
And then through them, you met Sean Strickland at Team Quest.
Yeah, I met Sean at Team Quest, and that's we used to try to beat the hell out of each other every day. And I've known Sean for like 5 years now. There are times we've gotten to fist fights 3 times now in practice. We've been thrown out of the gym like 3 times. Sean's afraid. We have literally gotten to fist fights 3 times and been like kicked out of practice for fist fighting each other. Like,
did that have to do with his intense sparring habits?
For me, it's yes and no. Like the first time it happened, he was beating the hell out of a guy. And I'm like, the kid's fighting in like 3 weeks. I'm like, Sean, like bouncing his head off a wall. And Sean's like, don't tell me what to do, Curtis. And then we got into an argument and just led to a fist fight.
He's funny. He's like, what I like about Sean, because I just seen him too the other day when I was there with you guys in Madison Square Garden, is he can be a little awkward, but it's not an act. He's himself. So we're sitting there. I see him and Chris, and I'm talking to him, and I get along with Sean. So he's like, man, Sarah, man, how do you live in this shithole? I go, man, you were there. I think you were with us, girl.
It's like, this is a shithole. I'm like, yeah, I walked away. Like, yep, this is going.
It was after the fight. We were in the lobby. It was the night of. I was leaving. I was getting an Uber back home. So I go, dude, I live in Long Island. I go, it's more a little laid back. He's, oh, I've been to Long Island. Oh, that's a fucking shithole, too. So I'm like, is the guy just looking for an argument? But he's not. Then he goes, because I can tell, because I'm looking at him. I'm like, oh, you don't like Long Island. Now, I'm not taking offense, but I just want to – I go, where are you from? And I forgot where the fuck he told me. But he did tell me. He goes, oh, we're up. I can walk out of my house. I can just take a piss. I can fire guns. I go, that makes sense.
He's not shitting you. He lives on top of a fucking mountain. I'm like a fucking flower farm. It's insane. I was like, why do you – like, he lives away from society, which as it should be. Like, you can't have him around regular people too often. Like, weird shit happens.
He seems like he has a bit of a short fuse.
I laugh. It's like the Sean Strickland you guys see now is actually a kinder, gentler, more tempered Sean Strickland. And I take credit for this. I've been like for years, like, bro, like you got to calm down. But like, you know, I've lived with Sean before. Like, you know, he's been a really good friend for years. Like, he used to live with me out here and first started coming to Vegas more often. And like the dude, people ask, it's not an act. Sean's not a bad guy. Don't get me wrong. He just has no, he walks around, unfortunately, with no concern that anyone else can harm him. And this is what happens. But he's the reason why we have laws, because like without laws, like there'd be more Sean Strickland. So he walks around completely unconcerned about his safety or like societal norms. And he's the most free human being you'll ever meet because he just doesn't give a fuck, honestly.
But yet he's likable. He's a very he is a likable guy.
Sean will give you the shirt off his back, but he'll also talk shit about you the entire time. Like, so like that's the two sides of the same. Like, he'll give you the shirt off his back, but he will talk shit about you the entire time. Like, oh, you fucking suck. You lost your shirt. Like, he'll give you a shirt immediately.
He's the type of guy that's made for this type of sport. Like, this is his sport.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I don't think some guys, they can excel in any sport. You put him on a golf course, I don't know how he's going to do.
Sean had fighting or mercenary work. That's it. Like, he's fighting a fucking mercenary. There's nothing else he could do.
Some guys are just made for that cage. And when they got that kind of grit and attitude, sometimes you don't want to curb them too much if you're their coach or teammate, because shit, man, let them off their leash when it's time to go, you know?
Well, that's what makes Sean so dangerous, man. He's just a guy to where, like, that grit is a weapon, man. Like, his his mindset is a weapon. Like, and the honest to God, man, like, I'm telling people to understand that, like, when it comes to fighting, I've never met someone who's so hard-nosed about everything to where, like, it's, you ask Sean, like, oh, like, I, one of the greatest things they laugh at in the gym, like, guys ask, he's rolling with Sean, and Sean just sweeps him. He's like, how'd you do that? He's like, a technical breakdown. Sean was like, I just fucking wanted it more. That's how I did it. I'm like, there's your breakdown right there. It's just grit to Sean. Like, be, whatever you're doing, do it harder if you really want it. And that's just how Sean exists. But that's a fucking dangerous man.
Now, when you guys had fist fights in the gym, was it one of those things where you both are aware that, like I don't really want to hurt this guy because he's my friend? Or how hard are you really going?
I blacked his eye last time we did it. And, like, he's I blacked his eye. At one point, he head kicked me with no shin guard on, like, in a fist fight. Like, it's we have tried to murder each other. And then we'll be angry for, like, a week. Yeah, we'll be angry for a week, and then we'll be like, all right, that was stupid.
Sounds exactly like me and Jimmy. We smack each other around sometimes.
That's right. It's not the same. Matt spanks me. It's different. It's a spanking. It's not. It's yeah. not it's,
hey, you know, hey, man, we all like weird shit, man. We're all adults here. We're all into weird shit.
Now, what's your situation now? You're a married guy. You're single. What do you got going on?
I'm single.
Chris.
No, I'm actually dating right now. I used to be engaged. I was engaged for a while, and fighting kind of put an end to that. But had some ups and downs. Dated a stripper before this, didn't end too well. Like, we all made that mistake. We've all done that mistake. But now I'm actually starting to get more serious. I got one kid. He's back home in Cincinnati with his mom. Great kid, 14, Christopher Dale. And that's it. And outside of that, I'm just besides the kid and the lady, I'm just a mercenary rolling around.
Did you have a son? Did he watch his daddy kick some ass or?
Yeah, I called and I was like, "What did you think?" He's like, "Yeah, you looked good. It wasn't bad. You got hit a little bit too much, but it wasn't bad." But he's been watching me fight for 15 years. Yeah, he doesn't care. He's like, "Whatever."
Hey, am I crazy or did it seem like an awkward punch? Slightly, maybe it was just the angle I saw it at, but it seemed like it was almost like, did you hit him with more the back of your hand than the actual head on?
It was literally every part of my fist hit his face, and then like I hit, and then it just kept like.
Oh, okay. And then you threw a body shot and then like a sharp hook or something. And that was what he felt kind of strange. He felt like he didn't realize how badly he was hurt. And then he tried to take a step and he realized I'm finished.
The hook kind of hurt him. And we followed it up. I followed up with a uppercut and it was a knee to the body. I thought it was a liver shot. I thought I hit the liver, which is why everybody's like, why didn't you rush in? I was like, well, I thought I hit him in the liver. So the only thing is like, liver shots are delayed. You'll see guys take a knee. But you can still fight through that if you really want to. So I was waiting. I thought he was going to kind of bounce up and try to shoot. I came too close. But he took that step and he fell over like straight up. I was like, oh shit, that's a solar plexus. When you get hit in the solar plexus, man, like it kind of feels like your heart skips a beat. And people don't think that's too bad, but like when you have that feeling like your body seizes.
Yeah.
It's like having like a spasm. And like watching the video, you see him kind of like spaz and shake. And I was like, oh, that's a solar plexus. He's not getting back up. Like he's done. So that's when I jumped on him. Like, I was kind of worried he's going to hit his knees and shoot. I didn't want to be that guy. Like, oh yeah, you had it in the bag and you fucked up. Like, no, but he hit the ground. And it's like, man, the way he fell, I was like, oh, he's really hurt. He's hurt.
Man, time's flying. I mean, we got Chris Barnett in the waiting room now, but we're just getting started. I feel you have to come back on.
Yeah.
Chris.
Oh dude, I got some funny fucking stories from Sean Strickland stories for you guys to love. Just some random shit. Yeah, I would love to be back on, man.
100%, man. We want to even get to know you more too. So let us know when you got another fight, man. And please come back on, man. You're a really fun guy to watch fight. You're a good friendly guy, man. We like
having Absolutely.
I'd love to. Tell freaking Barnett I said, hey, man, that's my favorite fighter now is Chris Barnett. So tell him I said what's up.
All right. Good talking to you too, man. And congratulations. It was a really, really impressive win.
Thank you guys, man. It was a great fight of my life. I get to fight in the MSG. Like, what more can I ask for?
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
I'm not going to be here Wednesday, so we have to talk about the fights as soon as...
And I'm not going to be here Monday because I'm doing Dana White looking for a fight. I'm not going to do this again when I do
Please
this.
Don't. Yeah, it's really uncomfortable.
Dana White looking for a fight. What if I did something like that?
I wouldn't enjoy it.
I could be Dana White.
Yeah, no.
Looking for a fight.
In all honesty, I would find that very upsetting.
Looking for a fight like that without... Let's make sure this doesn't make air. Right?
I wouldn't like that. No, I think that 100% needs to make air.
Me, Dana, and Dean Thomas, and we'll all go like right next to each other doing like this in the beginning.
Yeah, but when you say looking for a fight, you can do this. Looking for a fight.
Yeah, we all do something different. So you would do that, and then Dean maybe do this, and then I'd be doing like this, like karate chop. Ready? Let's do it. Ready? We can all do it. Dana White. Ready? Do this with me too.
Okay.
Man, all three of me, Dean and Dana, ready?
Okay.
Dana White. My hand's up. For the people that are listening and they don't see this, my hand is up like I'm looking for something, like I'm searching. Yep. And me,
what are you looking for?
We're looking for
your co-host.
One day you're really gonna leave.
Never. Let's start with the opening fight of that card, Gaethje against Chandler. What an amazing. I mean, what a fucking, I think either one of those guys who even if Chandler had won, you look at whoever loses, your stock doesn't go down an inch. I mean, either one of those guys you want to see fight when they lose. What a fucking great fight, man.
Yeah, that's one of those instant classics. You know, there's certain guys when they match them up and I'll tell you the time that Chandler got him up over his head with a takedown.
Oh,
needed it, but then there was a scramble and they got back to their feet.
He like somersaulted out, right? Didn't he like kind of somersault his way out?
That's what I was expecting more of. And listen, every fight's different, every fight.
Sure.
But, you know, Khabib had such great control with those takedowns. And maybe because it was more against the cage. I don't know. But, you know, the timing is everything. But I thought Michael Chandler would be a little bit more, do add in the shots a lot more. But hey, man, listen, I ain't complaining. This shit was fun to watch.
I thought at the end when he was a little, there was a little too much, like, guy had hit me, like LaMotta and Raging Bull almost, like, I didn't think it was as strategic as it should have been, but what a great fucking fight, man. Gaethje against him, an incredible fight.
I like when you text me, you know who the real winner is in that fight?
The fans.
Yeah!
I'll tell you who the real winner is. Whoever picked Justin Gaethje to win.
Oh, I didn't do that.
Well, I don't know.
You did do that. You did. You did good with your picks.
Well, at least you picked the right. At least you picked Shane Burgos. Billy Quarantillo, a great fighter, but at least you picked Shane Burgos.
Well, I picked Billy.
Oh no, but I didn't pick decision.
I'll tell you right now.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, hats off to both Justin and
yep.
They were fantastic. Talk about a fight that lived up to the hype.
Amazing.
That lived up to the hype. If you people did not watch that, you're bad. But I'll tell you right now, if it wasn't for that fight, let's talk about Shane Burgos versus Billy Q. Because Billy Quarantillo he was in that fight too. That was a great fight.
Great fight.
You know, probably came down to that third round. And I'll tell you, it was still a very, very fun fight. And it was a close fight.
Yeah.
You know, you get that leg jeopardized. It's a problem, Jimmy.
Those kicks,
those calf kicks, and whatnot.
Well, speaking of that, which is what kind of Gaethje did to Chandler. I mean, those tremendous. That's why I think I love him so much. Besides the fact that he's just a savage, crazy person, is his leg kicks. I love watching a guy's legs get cut out.
Just from of course, Jimmy. Fuck, who doesn't love that?
I do.
I know you do. What I wanted to say. Was you know, I was there cornering Raging Ally Quinta.
Yes.
And I just want to say that it's such an honor to always be in that guy's corner. You know, win, lose, draw, it's always an honor to be there. Al you know, he always comes to the fight.
Sure.
And props to Bobby Green.
Yeah.
Who looked fantastic.
He looked really good, yeah.
You know, wasn't overcome by the moment of being in Al's backyard and fighting at MSG.
That's right.
And he got him, a two-piece up against the cage. And, you know, he's a good counter fighter, and he caught him. But, you know, I'm just saying that this is the game we play. And what came up on my timeline today, it's so funny, on your Facebook, you know, your pictures come up.
Sure, yeah.
And there was a picture of myself, Ray Longo, Raging Ally Quinta, and we're in Australia with Ross Pearson and his mates. You know what I mean? And we were taking a picture, having a drink after the fight. And that's a fight. That's a night that that Al, you know, really, I'm not gonna say burst on the scene, but he took out a veteran in Ross Pearson and finished him. So Al was on the other end, you know. Al's been in the – he gave many guys a rough night. You know what I mean? So for Al to, you know, to take one the way he did last night, you know, it happens in this game. You know, the highs are high and the low are low. But if you know who you are, the lows aren't that low.
And it's also not typical of Al. Like, he hadn't fought in a while. And when you look at him, like, that's not a typical way. Al usually is just an impossible guy to put away. So, you know, like you said, it does happen.
It does happen. You know, and I'm just proud. I'm always proud of the guy, and I'm happy to be, you know, associated with the guy, no matter what. You know what I mean? And always proud.
Yeah, of course.
Me and Ray, we really love that guy, and if all our fighters had the mentality of Ally Quinta, shit, man, there's no better mentality. So there you go. I just wanted to say that. So let's get back to
Vera Frankie Edgar. Chito Vera, Frankie Edgar.
Man, there's a damn picture out there with the foot landing in his face.
I know. He looks like he's crying. He's not, obviously. It's just the way the face is being hit. But it looks like a photo of somebody who's very upset. It just happened to be the way the camera caught it.
This is the thing. Especially with his bouncy style, Frankie Edgar. It's rough to tell if the guy to walk away. But you don't want that guy, I don't know, man.
Stopped.
How many times has the light been put off, even if some of them might be a tad premature? I don't want the guy taking any more damage. And I know he's, but the thing is this, he was still in that fight.
Oh, of course he was.
What round was that again that he got?
Third round.
It was the third round.
Yeah.
The first round, I believe he won. I got to watch it again. But he got the rounds, even though Chito was doing well on bottom, I should say, Frankie was dominating the round. So, you know, Chito, props to Chito Vera. He was never getting discouraged. You know what I mean? And he was stalking. I hate to see, I don't like seeing Frankie get hurt. I know that sounds.
No, of course not.
Because you know why? Because, I mean, he used to, you know, he took some shots in the past, like, and bounced back, like, with the Gray Maynard fight.
Yeah.
Back in the day. And I don't know, man. I mean, I know the guy loves to compete.
Doesn't he have the most minutes in the octagon of anybody in history? I think he still has that record, right? Cowboy doesn't have that record, does he?
Listen, he's a legend in the game.
Yeah.
It's just, when it's time to, I don't know. I'm not.
You still want to see the guy take more shots. Yeah.
I don't want to see that guy take another punch. How about that? I did his podcast recently. I guess it's how many months now, but I had a good time. I was in his house, you know, and you know, he's got his beautiful family and he's got a beautiful house and a beautiful wife and kids. And I don't know, man, he already won in life.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, I just don't want to see the guy get hit anymore. And it's not that he couldn't kick most guys' asses still. Cause I think he can still compete. So whatever, man, I'm not hopping on the guy to hang him up or nothing. I'm just,
you don't want to see him get hurt. Yeah. Of course. Just how would you like somebody?
I really like the guy. You know, talk about nothing to prove. I mean, the guy fucking, A legend.
Hall of Fame fighter. He'll always have a career, whether it's coaching or whatever he wants to do, he'll be able to do.
Yeah. Yeah, man. So listen, we love Frankie.
Yeah.
But hey, props to Chito Vera though. Cause listen, Frankie was doing well. And Chito, he figured that out. And, you know, he's there and he's with, Jason Perillo, who's a friend. And, you know, they're doing the thing. They're staying the course, you know, so they're good for them.
Rose Namajunas. Over Weili Zhang, split decision, very good fight. I thought Rose won, so the decision went where it should have, but Wiley looked really good as well.
She did look good. I think it's a just decision. Man, I like that last takedown by Rhodes. Talk about
and they being the fifth. Yeah. Yeah.
Listen, how do you not like that? I'm the best. I am the best.
Yeah.
I am the best. Yeah. I am the best. Sorry. But I like that. Look at that smile.
Yeah.
Still smiling. I'll tell you, for a cage fighter, I don't see you snarling at all. Look at her.
Oh, yeah. Life's too short to be that angry, man.
Oh, so listen, I'll tell you, you won over that crowd. You went into the Lions Den. You went into Gian Vellante's hometown of New York. And listen, that guy can fight in Guam. Everybody loves Gian Vellante. So, man, you went in that place like you owned the joint. And then the fight went phenomenal. And then the classy gentleman that you are, Chris, to give your moment at MSG, to just give it over and say, look, his last fight, let's hear it for Gian Vellante. Dude, yeah. What a class act. I can't tell you enough. I'm telling you, man, you made a lot of fans, not just by your fighting the other night. So congrats on that.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Big time, man.
What was it like fighting in the Garden? What was it like being, did it mean anything more to you than fighting anywhere else? Or for some guys, it holds like a real special feeling because of the history of the building. And for some guys, it's just another place to fight.
Yeah, no, it was huge. I remember the whole era of MMA not being allowed in New York, you know? So I was able to mark off the bucket list of fighting in Japan of all MMA fighters. You know, that was one thing. And then the fact that I got to fight in MSG, man, it was huge, dude. So I knew, like, whether I was the heel, as they say in wrestling, or like the villain or whatever, I knew I had to come in there and show out. I never want to be the bad guy, but if I was going to be the bad guy, I was going to make sure I somehow won the crowd over, you know. But even coming out, like y'all were saying, man, they were going nuts, man. And I picked the old Puff Daddy Harlem Shake, you know, song to come out to. Hopefully the New York crowd was going to, you know, feel it. And they felt it, you know. But yeah, I mean, like the vibe, the aura, just walking through those tunnels and stuff, just to know the names that have been through those tunnels, you know, it was a magical feeling, man. It was an extremely magical feeling.
Oh, good.
Now, we ask a lot of guys, you know, have you always been a fighter? But what I want to know is, have you always been a dancer? Because holy shit, man, you probably, forget the octagon, you probably slay in the nightclubs. I don't know if you're a married guy, but dude, if I was in there doing that shit, they'd fucking throw, the bouncers would throw me the fuck out. And it wouldn't win anybody over. But how the fuck, where'd you learn that?
Self-taught? Honestly, yeah, man. Never took any dance classes or anything. Just movies from Breaking, big into the Boogaloo Shrimping and the whatnot, the Pop Locking, all of that stuff, man. That's always been my vibe, dude. I've always been a breaker at heart. Technically, you know, if you want to break everything down, I was born overseas, but the first place I ever touched state was New York, you know. So I've always had that New York in me, you know, regardless of whatever else has been said, you know. But yeah, man, honestly, just movies and then just loving good music and loving good beats, man. Dancing's always been one of my things. It just happened to be dancing can play so much of a big part in music, because if you can dance for 5 minutes, why can't you fight for 5 minutes? You know what I mean? So yeah, now dancing's always been in the back of my mind, regardless of what's going on.
Well, Chris, I can't do either. I can't dance or fight, but I will say the difference is no one is trying to knock you out when you're dancing. I think that's the main difference.
No, I've been in some clubs sometimes to where you're doing too much of a good job dancing to where the whole crew comes at you and you're like, whoa, wait a minute. So yeah, sometimes the place is fire.
like a dance off type of thing?
Yeah, no, I've been in dance battles that have turned into fights before. Yes, I've definitely been there with that whole you got served type thing to where the group's shit. Like, hey man, he's doing too much. If we beat him up, we can win type thing. And it's like, little did you know. You know, but I've been there before. It never gets that too serious because, you know, dancers is kind of like, all right, we get it, man. You just got us tonight. We'll be back next week, sucker, you know. But nah, I've definitely been at the point to where it's like, hey, man, you doing too good. Yeah, quick elbow. You're like, whoa, wait a minute, man. Like, why are you mad that you just got served, sucker?
You ever bring cardboard? You ever lay down cardboard and spin on cardboard? Of course, right?
If I could find the video, there's a video of me and my homeboys. Literally, like, we went downtown Athens. We laid cardboard out. We had the big boom box, and we were getting it in. We were out there getting it in.
I'll tell you, it is funny, man. Like, you could use that. See, I can't dance for shit. Unless I was drinking or I'm high or something, that wouldn't work on a fight. So, like, for you to go into the cage, you're going in there. Sometimes, Jimmy, when you get warmed up in the back, by the time you get in the cage, you're kind of cold sometimes.
Yes.
That's not going on with Chris. I'm talking about a warm-up.
Exactly. Like, yo, just to let you know, that's like, all right, I'm letting my secret out the bag. Dancing to the ring actually gets you, like, okay, MSG, they had it on Antarctica. I don't know why they had the temperature down so low, but oh my God, it was already cold outside and they decided to put it on Ice Age. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna warm up in the back just to get cold again, you know? Yeah. So as I'm coming out, I started figuring out, I said, okay, before this light gets bright and they tell me I can go, let me go ahead and start shimmying and get a little bit of sweat going, you know, being a bigger dude, it's not hard for me to get the sweat going, you know? So I got to go in there. And then when I broke out and started doing the hands and stuff, I was still had my sweat going. So it worked perfect. You know what I mean? So a lot of that. And I don't know if you know, it was my first time out when I came out against Rothwell. I wasn't dancing. I wasn't dancing at all. Like I was in awe that, like, oh my God, this is the UFC. Whoa, we made it. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So, but this time around, man, at MSG, I was like, nah, we got to do what we do. And let's go, you know. So I decided, blah, 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 almost knocked out the security guard at some point. I was like, nah, if you in the way, you in the way, baby, we going, you know. And I started to hear the crowd. And that made me go even harder to the point to where I was like, hey, Chris, you need to calm down. You still got 5 threes. You got to, you know, you got to go in here, you know. So the dancing definitely keeps you warm, you know. Little secret to everybody else out there. But not like, it's another thing, you know, just like Frankie jogs all the way out. You know what I mean? He keeps it going, you know, type thing. But me, I dance it all the way out type thing, you know,
even in letting that cat out of the bag. A lot of guys can't mimic that. If I was still fighting, it'd be ruined. I do like the robot. So I'd be like,
there you go. Hey,
it's very good, man.
It wouldn't work. You know, I wouldn't be warmed up.
What's your favorite breakdance movie?
Favorite breakdance? Oh man, that's tough. It's honestly between Beat Street or Breakin'.
I thought Beat Street was better.
Yeah, to me personally, like, my favorite line in that whole movie, wake up for breakfast. What do you say? My rhyme's so slick, my tongue so slick, my gallant talent like a magic trick, like that right there. I was like, anytime I hear that, I'm ready to go. I like, where's the cardboard at? Let's go right now. But yeah, I think Beat Street, definitely the story in that one is more heartfelt. You know, the dude on the train tracks, you know what I mean? And whatnot.
Ramon gets killed.
Yeah, man. Like, Ray was like, oh my God, no. But Breakin' has more, you know, more popping and more, you know, more of those, hey, it's not good to be a turkey, or what is it? It's not good to be no jive turkey this close to Thanksgiving. You know what I mean? Like those type of, those one-liners that you love, you know, and it's got the and the dancing and whatnot. But yeah, between B Street and Breakin', those definitely are my two favorite.
Yeah, early 80s.
Yeah.
I enjoy Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo.
I enjoyed
that.
Definitely can't take away from Electric Boogaloo.
Love it.
Like, Jean-Claude Van Damme was in the first one. Did y'all know that?
I did not.
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Damme was in the first Breaking, actually. He's on the beach scene in a wrestling singlet, clapping his hands off beat like this. He's like,
oh, that's funny. That's funny. What year was, I'm going to guess, I think Beat Street was 82, and I'm going to guess Breaking was 82, 83. They were both very early 80s.
Yeah, both of them, yeah.
Hey, Chris, where did you grow up, and what did you get started with as far as martial arts?
I'll claim Georgia is where I grew up. I was an Air Force brat, so born in Spain, actually. From Spain, about 4 or 5 years there. Went to Colorado, from Colorado to Texas to, I think, Alabama, and then to Georgia. So Georgia is what I quote unquote claim. Got in Taekwondo around 5, 6-ish when we got here, just doing it just to stay active. mom didn't want to beat me. So she sent me to the Taekwondo school because I was a knucklehead, you know, growing up, needed discipline and whatnot. Like, not that I was a bad kid. I just was everywhere. Like, hey, Chris, pay attention. Oh, that's shiny. What's that? You know, I was that kid. You know? So they wanted me to get some structure and whatnot. But yeah, I was around 5, 6, definitely started Taekwondo. And from there, it just kind of, you know, progressed from there. Actually, my brother did so much better than me in Taekwondo. I kind of left Taekwondo alone. And then I picked up wrestling and stuff. So,
you know what? You left it alone, but you brought it out for the garden.
Yeah, of course. Yo, you
crazy, man.
I left it alone, but it's always in the back of my mind. You know?
Yeah, you said you've been throwing that kick since you were a kid, right? Like spinning. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that was one of my pop's things. Like, he was one of those guys that in Taekwondo, there was always a set plan. You got to do this, to do this, to do this. He saw other ways. He was always that guy that was like, well, look, I see they're throwing this kick, but if they throw it this way and turn that way, why don't they do it this way? And he was always, and we were his test dummies. Me and my brother were his test dummies. You know, my brother made it all the way to the Olympic trials, you know, listening to my pops off of just his intellect and his strategy, which, like, come to find out. So my dad was a captain in the Air Force. He's a veterinarian, also got his veterinarian degree. He's his list goes on and on and on and on of things, of stuff. So he's constantly feeding his mind and feeding his brain with stuff and trying to come up with new ways. And he's got the perfect two test dummies. You know what I mean? He's got a son. My brother's like 6'1", perfect with Taekwondo. And then he's got these other joint manipulations and techniques and stuff. He's like, hey, I see that you're a little shorter, but stronger. Let's try this with you. You know what I mean? So we were his test subjects, and boom, you know, it worked out perfect. But yeah, man, it's always been one of those good feeling things, you know.
And Chris, you were from Spain, right?
Yes, sir.
And how long were you there when you were a kid?
Just till like I was about 4 or 5-ish, and then we came to the States.
Oh, was it because your dad's in the military? Did they transfer him?
Yeah, military. Yes, sir. Yeah.
And then you have to travel around after that a lot. Was it difficult?
Not too much. Like, we traveled a bunch, I'll say, within my first year of getting to the States. So it was like New York, Colorado, Texas, Alabama, Kentucky, then Georgia or whatever. But then, like, once we hit Georgia, we pretty much were stationary for a good bit.
Did you develop, because you're like a really nice, a big and a fun personality, like you're a really nice guy, did you kind of develop that because you're always moving, making new friends, and it's like an easier way to come into a school and just kind of be a...
No, it's weird. Like, the friends I developed here, I've kept. Like, one of my best friends, Ben Stevens, we've been friends for 32 years, you know what I mean? So, like, we've been friends for 29, 30 years, you know. So it's more or less, I don't want to say what my brother went through, because he had to go through the, oh my God, I got a best friend. Oh no, we got to move. Oh my God, I got a best friend. Oh man, we got to move. You know what I mean? I saw what he had to go through with that whole aspect. So me, it was more or less, I've never kept anybody close, because just in case in the back of my mind, but once I noticed we weren't going anywhere, you know, I could turn that off. But no, the bubbly personality really it comes from just going through life, seeing things and not just judging it, taking everything in, not just being like, oh, why is that happening? I ask a lot of questions, like, why does that person feel like that? Why is that happening? Why is that going on? And understanding it, not just understanding it in a way I feel I need to, understanding it in another manner of somebody else needs to, like, you know, like, looking technically what they call thinking outside the box. I love to do that. You know what I mean? And that's helped me be able to grasp a lot of just happiness, because you see a lot of folks just angry, this, and that. And you're like, yo, if you took a second to just realize what you have or who you are, you might take a second to smile about it. But that's always been my aspect on life, of asking questions to understand why, not just, okay, well, I need to be angry because that's the way it's supposed to be. No, there's another way around it.
This is what we need, Jimmy. This is what we need, world, in our life.
I know. Matt and I are too negative.
Now, well, love you. You're a little half glasses half empty attitude. I love Chris's attitude, man. I'll tell you, buddy. I mean, what do you like to do as far as a hobby? I mean, besides dance, I know that you could do all day long. Is there anything you like to do as a hobby that's unrelated to MMA?
Like, I play video games. I play Pokemon Go. I'm out in life, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm out there flicking the phone with folks, you know.
What video games do you play?
A lot of fighting games, like Tekken. Like, I used to be big into Madden and the whole 2K, but it's like the same game every year with a new sneaker. You know what I mean? I'm like, okay, I'm done. You know what I mean? So I'll get on those, you know, if my friends are playing or whatever, you know, I can run a defense and an offense and a football. You know, I play football enough to understand that. But like, yeah, well, like I'll play random games like the, like, yeah, like again, Pokemon Go, people got off it. I'm still on that game. You know what I mean? Like the Tekken, I don't think, like, I think there's fighters like Anderson Silva, Uriah Hall and stuff like that. They still play those games before they fight. And it makes so much sense because there's so much stuff that goes on in those type of games that you can mimic, like, in an actual fight. Like, there's times I'll play Tekken before I go train, and I was like, I got to do three of these, three of those, and four of these, you know. But yeah, man, like, hobby-wise, I just, honestly, anything that can bring joy. I was looking into doing, like, stand-up for a hot minute, but, like, the whole COVID thing happened, and like you had, you know, you got to have the car to do this, and that. So they were, you know, reluctant on bringing me in and whatnot. But yeah, my thing is, like, I love a good vibe and making people feel happy. Like, so I figured, like, the comedic way would have been sure. Real cool, but with everything going on, especially now, I need, you know, I'm gonna stay focused, as they say, but now, like, hobbies wise, dude, I'm cool. I can chill outside all day by myself and enjoy nature, or I can be around a bunch of people, as long as, you know, it's a good vibe, dude. Like, there's no place you can't put me that I'm not going to be comfortable, you know?
That's a good way to live.
We need more people, not even in the sport, in the world. Can I say that? Like Chris Barnett, I'll tell you. Ray Longo, this is the thing. We Gian Vellante, he was in the locker room with us. You know, I was there with Raging Al. And, you know.
I was worried about this. Like, when they said Matt, they were like, yo, Matt wants to talk to you. I was like, man, he's going to cuss me out. Gonna be this boy. I know he's from New York. Like,
listen, I told Chris Weidman afterwards, right? And I'm like, you know, and of course I feel bad for my friend. I go, how's Gian? How is he? He goes, I'll tell you, man. He goes, you saw what Chris said in the cage? He goes, that made it a lot better, man. He goes, that really made it. Because you had his family there. He goes, it really, like, made it. He's not in a bad place. Dude, the guy left with a smile on his face, dude. You did a really. Man. Ray Longo, he was saying it. And I didn't even know you were going to be on today. And Ray, he goes, man, that guy. He goes, that Chris. He goes, listen, you could not ask for a better, just all around, all around night for you. From the walkout. If that walkout was that walkout, you went in there and just got destroyed. People were like, man, I love the dancing.
Right.
You know what I mean? From the walkout to the way the fight ended, which was spectacular. Because, you know, listen, you're like me. We're kind of stocky. We don't expect the legs to get up that high.
Right.
And then the classy post-fight speech, dude. You won us all over. I mean, I can't say enough, buddy. Good, you know, congrats.
That's what's up, man. I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it.
I'm sure we'll be seeing you again too, man. And it was fun talking to you, and definitely look forward to your next fight. And please come on right before that or right after. We'd love to talk to you again.
Awesome, man. Anytime y'all want me on here, I'm here. I am here for you.
Chris, good talking to you, man.
Awesome. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much.
Okay. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Now, let me tell you, before we finish talking about the Kamara fight. So, Jimmy, after the fight, you know, we got back. They shuffle you right out, right? So we go in, we get out, back at the hotel before the main card starts.
Oh, you didn't get to stay and watch?
No. But they had it at the hotel. They had it on like Channel 75, so everybody could even watch, you know? So they didn't let you stay. It's new COVID stuff, you know?
Oh.
So we're back, and I'm a little depressed, you know? It was a rough night. And I love my guys, and, you know.
Sure.
But I went to the room, of Longo's room, and watched Aljo, Longo, and Al, we watched it. So whatever, listen. Hey, man, I was a little depressed. Maybe I had a couple edibles. Maybe I smoked a little bit. Maybe. So maybe I was a little, my mind, long day, adrenaline up and down, ton of reefer. I'm going home, right? Late. Now it's like 1 a.m. What's nice about fighting in New York, Jimmy, I can just jump in a fucking Uber.
Get home, yes.
I'll be in my bed within an hour, sure. Especially at 2 a.m. So I'm outside the hotel in Midtown. You know, they got those pretzel fucking.
I know they smell good.
I'm looking at this pretzel stand. I'm a little depressed. Maybe that big, hot, soft, New York pretzel. Maybe that'll cheer me up. So you see me, I'm on a corner. I got the Uber's coming in 3 minutes. And I'm looking. And I'm at the pretzel. And there's a couple over there. And they're over there. And I'm just keep staring back and forth. So I look back and the guy gives me like a wave. So I'm like, oh man, the guy thinks I'm staring at him. It's fucking Drew Dober. It's Drew Dober and his girlfriend. I go, oh shit, Drew. I go, dude, I'm not. He goes, oh, we didn't want to bother you. I go, Drew, man. I go, I'm looking at the pretzel. I'm not staring you down. I told the guy, right? But now you got to understand, Jimmy, I'm out of my mind a little bit because it was a long day. I told you my mind state. I'm kind of fucking I'm out of my mind. I'm tired. I'm tired.
You'll tuck it out.
You'll tuck it out, you know. So I started talking to him. He's like, yeah, you know, I'm just concentrating on my training, and I'm training with Elliot Marshall. Now I know Elliot Marshall. He's a black belt, a former UFC fighter. He's a black belt under my good friend of 20-plus years, Amal Eastern, all right? So that stuck out of my head. So then we started talking a little more. So I wanted to bring up about Elliot. I know Elliot. So I go, Drew, I go, what was I going to say? Now, he doesn't know what I was going to say. He doesn't know me like you know me, Jimmy.
Sure.
So now he's kind of just, now it's not getting awkward, but I'm like, wait, I was going to say something.
Oh, no.
Now it's already awkward because Jimmy, I know, Jimmy.
Oh, man.
Jimmy, I could be so awkward, Jimmy. Oh, I didn't want to. Good looking Drew Dober is there with his better half. They're in New York enjoying a nice fucking pretzel stand. And you got this little highball man like, what was I going to say to you again? You're from Denver? I'm going to Denver for looking for. Now he doesn't. Why am I bothering?
I know. Man, Spider had a smoother conversation with Pesci in Goodfellas.
Oh shit! So Jimmy, I know I'm like, you gave me lightheaded. Give me a second. So I got him out of there. I'm like, all right, my Uber's coming. And so I just hope it wasn't awkward at the end, which it definitely was, probably. And right before that, Jimmy, I was in the lobby. And that's when I was in the lobby where I was talking to it was who was it? It was Chris and Sean Strickland, and it was Chris Weidman, you know. So I'm talking to those guys, Jimmy, and then I saw this couple come in, this really tall guy and this girl, and the girl smiling, she had a hat on. And I'm like, and you know, people like they know they like, you know how it is when you're not sure if you know somebody and like you don't recognize somebody right away.
Sure. Yes.
You do. So I then I'm like, wait a minute. Oh, fuck. I know this girl. She works in the UFC, and I met her in Abu Dhabi on the rooftop. She's a nice girl. I know her. Very friendly. I like her. I'm like, oh. But it didn't hit me. So I didn't know her. I didn't recognize her right away. So I'm like, oh. And then I didn't get her name right away. So then what I do? I start turning red and sweating. Jimmy, why do I got to be so awkward? I'm like,
and then I know.
I'm like, oh, good to see you. And I turn back, but I really want to be like, oh, because I found out, but then I don't want to say, oh, it's you. But now, right now I know her name. I remember it clear, crystal clear, Jimmy. But yet it was a rough night. I was high.
Well, you've also learned too, that if things get really weird.
I'm an awkward individual.
No, but in life you've learned that if anybody gets weird with you, you can always just choke them. Like you have that out. So you don't need to worry about names. I need to worry about names so people don't get angry at me. You don't need to worry about that.
I love everybody.
I know you.
You know what name I do know is Kamaru Usman. That's the name I know.
Kamaru was what a great, he almost ended it in the second round, But you got to give Colby credit. Like, he was very, very tough. And the fact that he came back, I think Colby had a really good fourth and he looked good in the fifth. So, I mean, he's definitely not a guy who's easy to put away.
Hey, what about that mean fight of the prelims, Alex Pereira? I mean, dude, he has a win over Israel.
Kickboxing. Yeah.
So, and now he comes in, makes his UFC I'm not starting it over.
Maybe it was fine. No, he had it.
And he does it. And he wins via second round knockout with a knee. I mean, things are getting very exciting at middleweight, Jimmy.
Yeah, and in the first round, I think he was on the ground a lot, and he seemed to be having it's harder to for kickboxers sometimes to adjust to the being grabbed and being thrown down. You know, sometimes once in a while they have a hard time with that, but the second round he was incredible.
Darn right he was, man.
Yeah.
Jimmy, oh, what a night. Late November. All right, listen to me. Yeah. It's actually early November. Jimmy, I'm going to Denver next week, man. Yo, oh, man. Denver. What's up? Wow. All right? Yeah, Jimmy. Oh, the espresso's cooking in. Oh, kicking in.
Good cooking. Kamaru Usman really, really looked good against... You know, and it's like, this is what bugs me about Colby Covington. He's really a good fighter.
Yeah.
But I don't buy any of this personality thing.
Yeah, nobody does, but he gets it. I think he gets it now.
He does, but like even him saying to Kamaru, hey, man, it's all love. I'm wondering if he did that just to spare Kamaru attacking him on the mic.
Nah, I think that the guy's trying to make some money by any means necessary.
I understand that, but
important thing is, listen, the most important thing is the guy can fight.
He's a very good fighter.
Guy did all this and he couldn't fight. It's like, whatever, man.
Yeah.
I like Chris Barnett.
I do too. And look, Colby wants to fight Masvidal. Masvidal's fighting Edwards. I'd much rather see Masvidal Edwards. But Colby, there's going to be a market to see Colby fight again. I mean, obviously.
There she is.
Hey, Rose.
Hey.
Champion. The champ.
How are you?
The champ. I'm doing good. How are you?
Really good. You must be. You look really happy.
Yeah, I am relatively, but yes.
Okay.
And no cuts. No cuts at all.
Cuts? No. Yeah. I mean, I guess like, you know, the canvas on the UFC canvas is always, you know, scrapes up your knees.
Yeah. It's interesting too. Cause after you beat Joanna, then the next time you fought, you went decision and then you fight, Wiley and you beat her fast and then decision. And you must like that. You can, no matter where the fight goes, you have to be confident. If it's going to last, it's going to last. And if it's going to be over fast, it's over fast.
Yeah. I think that's one of the best attributes that I have as an MMA fighter and as a champion is that I'm well-rounded, not just in all the different arts, but I think being able to be a finisher and still be able to find a way to just win. And on top of that, I'm very entertaining as well. So I'm glad that it was an entertaining fight. It would be great if they were always like, you know, a Bruce Lee kick in seconds, but
sure.
You know, that might get boring too after a while because it's just-
no, never.
This is even more impressive though, Rose, because they could always point to that first fight. You know, people talk, oh, well, she got caught, she got that kick, but to beat someone over five rounds the way you did, it just leaves like it leaves no doubt. It's like, all right, look, wasn't nothing lucky about this. This is
no.
A five round fight, and can I just tell you that takedown in the last round was just. Woo!
That was the best.
So well timed.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but was Trevor or Pat, were they telling you to add that takedown in the last round, or was that that was just off the cuff?
That's something that I think I'm pretty good at. I mean, nobody really thinks of me as like this wrestler or whatever, but that is one thing that I do pride myself in is being able to mix it in when I need to.
And she looked really good in the first round as well. And she looked good in the second too. What were you thinking in the first round? Like now you're actually getting to see her as opposed to just a very, very kind of a brief fight. What were your thoughts in the first round or as you're getting through the first round?
The thoughts that I had in the first round, I was not very emotional about it. I was just like, all right, you know, I could lose a round. It's fine because it's a 5-round fight. And I did feel as though, like, because I'm doing calculations, I'm feeling like she's using all her effort right now. And to me, I was just sort of, you know, seeing what she has.
And was her strength what you had anticipated? Was she stronger than you thought she would be? Or was she what kind of close to what you thought or not as strong?
No, I mean, she's fast, but, and her timing was really good. But other than that, I didn't, even her strikes, like her punches weren't as dangerous as I thought they were. Like a lot of them were like grazing, you know. Her low kick was definitely improved. And I thought she was going to try to maybe more have like faster low kicks instead of put so much power into them. But she did a good job of doing that. But other than that, like I rewatched it a couple times already. And I was, you know, there was definitely things that I was upset with myself as far as not doing what I planned on doing. but at the same time, overall, I was like happy with my being able to correct those mistakes in the moment or just like adjust.
What was something that you had wanted to do that you thought like, wow, I'm not doing this? Or what was something that was frustrating that you felt like I should be doing this better?
Well, you know, I'm normally a very aggressive fighter. Like I don't shy away from, you know, stalking people down and whatnot. Like, I don't care. Like I've been hit with the word shit before and I'm not fazed by even the low kicks. Like I don't really, if they land it, it's a fight, you're going to get hit, you know? But I don't know why I was stalking her down like that. I was like, I don't need to do that. Was unnecessary like that. I just made it harder for myself, you know?
And is being champion, sorry, Matt, being champion now, you're used to this. I see you doing all these ads now, like on whether it's either Twitter or Instagram. And what was it a little harder at first, or did it take a little bit of getting used to this level of fame and recognition, or how is that treating you?
There's always new everything. I think each time I fight, there's always just like, oh, it's a little bit more. And this last one, there was a period of, it was like in the summertime, and I was like trying to like be training in my off season, and I was doing a pretty good job. And then there was like 1 week at the gym where it was like overwhelming, and I was going to the gas stations and people were like screaming. Like there was a moment where I was like, whoa, this is weird. And then I kind of went into my like hermit hole, and then I kind of was like, all right, I gotta be okay with this. And then I was able to like adjust and things kind of calmed down from there. But there was a moment where it was like, this is ridiculous.
I remember the last time I talked to you guys, Pat hit me up and he's like, yo, man, give a call to John Danaher. And you guys were doing like a little road trip and you were visiting different places. Did you guys document that trip, that road trip at all or no?
Yeah, just a couple videos here and there. But yeah, that's something that that would be cool to have more of.
Yeah, but that was cool. You traveled like all over? I mean, because you drove, you were driving.
Yeah, I can't even totally remember, to be honest. I think we just did New York, Milwaukee, and then back because I had an appearance in New York, so that's a lot of driving.
Do you prefer that to flying? Like, do you dislike flying at this point, or is it just something you were doing at the moment was driving?
Every context is, like, a little bit different. It depends on where I'm going and for what, you know? Like, New York is, that's really long. But I do like driving to Minnesota and back from here to there because like for when I'm doing training camps, I don't think it's like too much. Or, you know, we'll drive down to New Orleans to visit Pat's family also. So like that's a pretty nice drive because you get to go through Texas and whatnot.
Yeah. And when things are getting like a little bit much or a little bit moving faster, overwhelming, what do you do to just kind of, you said you kind of go in your, what did you say? You went into your hole or your little, whatever you said, what do you do to kind of get away from it all?
Yeah. Just stay inside, turn off the phones. Be with my family and hang out. We just chill really. We don't, do much, kind of just go outside, you know.
Isn't it nice after a fight when you're done and you know you have a little bit of time where you don't have to do anything? Like, isn't it nice just to relax a little bit and kind of not have to have any obligations?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, yeah, because it's so nice just being able to eat some pizza, you know. Yeah, smoke a little dope, some.
What a great night for your whole team. I mean, Justin Gaethje, right? Wait, it was the two of you? Was there any, who am I forgetting? Anybody else?
Usman. Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. I didn't forget him. Can we cut that out? I'm like, who else is Trevor working with? Yeah. But yeah. What a fan. I mean, I'll tell you right now, Trevor might be, that one night might have got him coach of the year or something. It's a fucking, I mean, what a great night for you guys.
Yeah, it was especially satisfying, too, because Captain America was out there. I was like, I was so thrown off at the press conference when one reporter was like, hey, what do you think about such and such, whatever his name is. I just know him as Eric, I guess. But he's like saying that it's a race to see which coach can get the most belts. And he was, you know, he had some champion in Bellator or something coming up. So I was like, I don't know, man. What is this dude talking about? But anyway, so we won.
It's gotta just feel so good because, you know, sometimes when you have more than one person on the card from the same team, if one person wins, you're like, yeah. And one person loses, it's like, oh. It's like,
yeah.
But when everybody, I mean, you got to talk about a nice road trip and a flight back. I mean,
yeah.
Travis is probably happy as hell.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think ultimately it's like we're a team no matter what. We support it. It's fighting, you know. Like we could have all lost. We could have one of us lost or whatever. But we're going to fully support each other no matter what. And but yeah, it was by far the best result to get three wins.
Well, now, Rose, will you watch the fights? Like, did you watch Justin's fight, or like before you go on, are you kind of in your own space, or will you actually just watch it to get out of your own head for a little bit?
I watched it from start to finish, and that wasn't necessarily my intention. I was gonna like maybe like out the corner of my eye look, but it was, how could you look away? You know, the way Gaethje fights too, like it looks a little more dramatic than what it is. Cause he does roll with the punches and he's not really like, but I don't know. It's just something about the way he fights. It's like, you're like, oh my gosh, you're just pulling on your heartstrings, you know?
With Justin in that first round, it's like, oh no, he's a punch away from getting stopped. Oh no. Cause it looks, but then he comes back like it never happens. And it's like, oh my. Cause usually when you take some shots, it's like an energy bar in a video game, but all right, man, he survived that round, but that thing's in half. It's like he's got a full energy bar the next round, and yet it looks like he's almost been stopped. So I'm going to say it's unusual, like, you know, and it probably, I could guess, like the adrenaline of his opponents are like, oh, he's almost out of there. So they give more, and now they're fighting a fresh Justin the next round.
You know, it almost seems like he has a second win, but in actuality, when I rewatched it, as opposed to like when I first was watching it, live, I was watching it and I was like, yeah, he hurt him for sure, but it wasn't as bad as I thought when I first watched. But and a lot of, even like later in the round, a lot of the stuff was like grazing, or he would like kind of like turn with it, so it wasn't more dramatic, but I think he did really awesome.
Have you had that in a fight where you hit somebody and you're like, this person should be close to dropping, and you just can't get rid of them? Have you had that where you felt like, what the fuck do I have to do to get rid of this person?
Paige Van Zandt she had a hard head. I was like, not a hard head, but like, actually she had like kind of a softer neck, like, cause her head just kept whipping back. But I was like, this girl is tough.
Yeah. Are you still sitting in that? I think you sometimes, because I hate cold water on me so much. Are you still doing 6 minutes in that tub outside?
Yes. And towards the end of camp, I do 10. So yeah.
Wow. How do you like get yourself? Because my friend keeps telling me he does it in the shower for like 2 minutes. How do you get yourself to like breathe properly?
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of practice. You know, I start with my legs, and then the more that I get used to my legs just like kind of suffering, then that's when I'll sit on the pot, or that's what we call sitting on the pot. It's almost like the training wheels for the ice bath, but I have like a big soup pot and I just sit on there. So it's like, it's up there, but it's not like to where I'm like breathing heavy. And then once I get used to that, then I'll start like, doing the whole thing. But I mean, it still sucks.
It does.
Jimmy thinks his little heart's going to explode. And then Jimmy gets
I can't
out,
breathe.
And I got to put a towel on him and I rub him.
Yeah. You like forget how to swim too.
I'm like a dog when it falls in the lake and panics. That's what I'm like when I'm in cold water. I can't do it. Yeah. I flail. I'm like, get me out of here. But it's that breathing of like where you feel like you can't catch your breath.
For sure. And I think that's one of the biggest things for me to or benefits, I should say, is controlling my breath, because that's ultimately like when you're in a fight, you train everything, all your reactions are there. It's just staying calm in a chaotic situation.
And what's next for you and Pat? Are you guys traveling at all? Are you just going to relax for a little bit? We would love to see you in New York if you come here again. What's next for you guys?
Probably go. I gotta sit down and think about some stuff. I don't know yet. Definitely gonna, you know, spend Thanksgiving with family and whatnot and enjoy that. Just let some of these bruises kind of heal a little bit, but I'm ready to do stuff.
Five round battle looks
amazing.
Great,
yeah.
Man. It's always better when you go out of it, not unscathed, because you're like, I'm sure you're icing things and like, but hey, man, could have been way worse. Oh, okay. This is so phenomenal.
I was kind of worried about my eye going into this fight, and it turned out to be fine, but I had like a little scare for a moment and everything ended up being okay. So the fact that I can just be able to compete, let alone come out and be totally fine, is that's better than the win.
Was it an injury you sustained training or no?
It was just like a weird little headbutt, you know, collision that I had. And it wasn't nothing out of the ordinary, but my vision was just like a little fuzzy for a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Whenever it's the eyes, it's always, you know, it's very scary. Well, we love you, Rose, and we love Pat. And I was really good to hear from you guys too. I was so, so happy for you. And you looked incredible, and I'm sure we'll see you guys again soon. We'd love to see you in New York when you're here.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you guys.
All right. And tell Pat, if Pat can hear us, Pat, goodbye. We'll see you soon. All right, buddy.
There he is. Right. All right,
good. Rose Namajunas. Thank you, Rose. That was nice. I didn't know Rose was on today. It was a surprise.
Oh, I like surprises like that.
Yeah, it's a good surprise.
Okay. Listen to me. Jimmy, what do you want to plug?
I'm good, buddy. I have my next gig is December 4th in Boca. I've had great shows, a lot of UFC fans. I saw Dean Thomas came on Thursday. I didn't see him, though. He just left. I think he had to get back to the Fighters Hotel. It was good to see Dean. And Phoenix. Phoenix came on Thursday as well, I believe.
Phoenix is great.
Yeah.
Hey, man, listen. You know me. I'm on Cameo, sarahbjj.com.
Right.
If you want a Kimura Savage t-shirt, or one of these. You like that?
There you go. Yes.
Jimmy, I'm going to talk to you in a couple. Oh, wait, you're not going to be here.
I won't be here Wednesday, no, but I'll talk to you when you get back. I think.
I'm going to be the guest co-host. It's going to be so. Let's get Dean Thomas on.
I'll know more tomorrow. I'll see how much work they have to do to my windows. I might be able to be on, but I think they'll be working here.
All right. Everybody, thank you so much.
Yes.
We love you all, Unfiltered Army. And by the way, I got some Unfiltered fans on the way from walking to the hotel from Penn Station. I had some people stopping me. Oh, Unfiltered Army. I told them I'd tell you, Jimmy.
Well, thank you. Chris Barnett, Chris Curtis, and of course, the great Rose Namajunas. Thank you very much. And Matt, I'll see you in a couple days.
Did I cut you off when you were
saying that? No, buddy. No.
We love you all.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, everyone.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.